Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Life is a fight.
It is.
In business, every day is a fight.
It totally is.
So, hey, what's your problem?
It is always something. So many problems, so little time. Thank you, JD. John David Wells, check him out at the Wells Report on Facebook. If you had any idea of what just happened here, I am such an idiot. From the Big Bad HQ here in Spring Hill, Tennessee, for anything lighting, electrical, and now heating and air, just go check us out at big.inc.com. Big Dot Lighting, Big Dot Electrical, Big Dot Heating and Air, Big Dot Everything. What's Your Problem is a podcast all about the Middle Tennessee business owner and professional, people in general. Sometimes we even go outside this particular part of the country and bring in people from other parts of the country, like Brad Lee. Check out his episode. He's out of Vegas and actually is moving to Middle Tennessee, much like other people from like California and the West Coast. Speaking of California, oddly enough, a lot of people from moving that are moving here from California. You probably like this particular show because evidently it gives you an insight to the culture of Middle Tennessee business owners and professionals, as well as just, you know, general people, like I said. That was just revealed to me recently by a friend of mine in B&I, AJ, new guy. He said, man, I really wish I knew about your podcast when we were thinking about moving here in April. Would have really opened my eyes as to how the culture is. Would have been very helpful. So if you know somebody who's thinking about moving from California or anybody anywhere, share the podcast. That'd be great. It is a video and audio podcast. Check us out at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. And I am your host, Jim McCarthy. Today, we have Mrs. Ashley Bright coming from Forward Digital Marketing. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for
having me. Yes. We actually did start the podcast, and I realized stupidly I wasn't even freaking recording. Total amateur move, and I'm willing to own up to it. It's totally embarrassing. I hate it. But, you know, these things happen.
It's been a while.
I'm very rusty. Very warm up, yeah. Hopefully you won't get sweaty palms again, because we got to do the...
They're dry now.
Good and dry, because hopefully the questions won't be challenging this time. We do have something that we start things off with called the Random Five, which is brought to you by Kaleyoka Company. Check those guys out. Which is funny, I think in the first iteration of a recording of this, I'd never mentioned them. So there we go. Kaleyoka Company is the company that really does take care of its people when it comes to cleaning. A cleaner that is organically based with a probiotic. All natural. And takes the smell out of things. Like cat urine. Very tough smell to remove. Ashley's like, I really don't want to hear about this right now. That's kind of turning my stomach. Let's see. Hopefully the random question generator is working because our internet is problematic. But hey, it's all right. Question number one, Ashley. What TV shows did you watch when you were a kid?
I was a book reader.
You're a book reader. No TV shows.
I did watch TV. I know. I went through a huge Brady Bunch phase.
Really?
Yeah, when that was on TV Land in the 90s.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
TV Land, what else was on? There was also like Leave It to Beaver and all those other types of shows.
There was another one. Oh, I watched a good bit of...
Cheers.
No, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What the 50s one? What was the 51 set?
Oh, Happy Days.
Yeah, Happy Days. Yeah. I loved that one too.
Oh, to long for that kind of time again. Question number two. What do you like but are kind of embarrassed to admit?
Oh, these are harder this time around.
I'm sorry.
This is okay. What do I like but I'm embarrassed to admit?
Yeah.
Sour cream? I love sour cream.
Really?
I need it by the spoonful.
I knew a person that actually loved ketchup so much. They put it on like their cereal.
Yeah, that's my brother.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
That's gross.
And I'm waiting for another question to pop up here. Hold on. Here we go. All right. What skill or ability have you always wanted to learn?
Probably software development.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Never going to do it. That sounds interesting.
I never say never.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
I mean, you just graduated from college last week, for credit.
Spring chicken.
Question number four. I think we're on number four. Okay. I was in radio. I have trouble counting. What's the best meal you've ever had?
Oh. Well, my mom is a fantastic cook, so it's really hard to pick one. But my favorite one that she makes is probably her Christmas dinner. It's like standing rib roast. It's amazing.
We have you have like morning traditions for breakfast traditions for Christmas? We do.
Maybe not just in the actual food dish, except for that one. That's like the, you know, the dinner centerpiece.
Right.
But, I mean, this woman cooks up a storm, so
right.
Pretty much whatever my mom's cooking.
Nice. Very cool. Ours is Christmas morning coffee cake.
Oh, that sounds good.
Which is like a monkey bread.
Yeah.
Cinnamony, somewhat undercooked on purpose. And it's been just our staple.
Sounds good.
That my wife brought into our family. From her family. So, there you go. Question number 5. I think we're almost done. If you could go back in time as an observer, no one could see you, and you couldn't interact with anything, when would you want to go back to?
Today, I feel like I'd like to go back to the Great Depression era.
Really?
And I'd like to observe some of the businesses that came out of that era and who started them, what they were thinking. Right?
Wow.
You know that Rice Krispies, I think, started then?
Really?
I think so.
Well, no, Corn Flakes wasn't. Well, maybe they were in the 1800s or something like that. But crazy, man. That's, wow. You're on top of it. I mean, you crushed the random 5 twice in a row.
I don't know. I think the first ones were a little bit better.
Those are softballs.
They were softballs.
Yeah. All right. So with that being said, brought to you by Kalioka Company, we're going to take a quick break and get into all things Ashley Bright when we get back.
Henry Ford once said that if you need a machine and don't buy it, then you will ultimately find that you have paid for it and don't have it. Nothing could be truer about energy-efficient LED lighting in your business. At Big Dot Lighting, we can show you how a portion of your savings from a commercial LED lighting upgrade will be paid for in hardly any time at all. Until then, you're paying for them anyway. Book a no-cost lighting energy assessment with Big Dot Lighting. At least 30% of your utility bill is waiting to be saved. Go to BigDotLighting.com.
Okay, getting back into it. All things Ashley Bright on the What's Your Problem podcast. Thank you for coming out here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I know it's Nolensville is quite a hike to Spring Hill. Can be.
Not too bad, though.
No, not just too bad during the middle of the day, right?
8:40 and 65, and boom, you're here.
That's true. So you're more towards the 840 interchange?
I am, yeah.
Nice. Very cool. Mm-hmm. And I would tell by there's a little bit of an accent going on. You're not from here. Where are you from?
Where are you from? Mm-hmm. I grew up in the northern Midwest.
Okay. That's where it's from.
Yep. That's probably what you're hearing. Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Oh, yeah. Don't you know?
Is it Fargo?
Yeah. No, no, no.
No, not Fargo.
No, no, don't you know? It's Minneapolis, okay?
It is such an endearing accent,
though. It is,
though.
Isn't it? And you don't know you have it until you leave.
Right.
We went back up to my parents grew up in northern Wisconsin, which is almost Canada. And we went up there this 4th of July, when my family always gets together for whatever reason, that's when we do it. Took my youngest son up there to meet my grandparents, and we went with my parents and my husband and my two sons and I, and we got up there, and by the time we got back, my husband was like, you and your parents are all have kind of reverted back to your, oh yeah, don't you know, okay there, okay.
Is hubby not from around there either?
He's from Missouri, so.
And, Missouri.
Yep, Missouri and Colorado. So, and then I grew up in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia too, so very eclectic.
You were in Pennsylvania at one point too. That's where he was from.
No. We met in college.
Okay.
In Chicago. But
Chicago.
Yeah. But I grew up in the Bears. I grew up in Minnesota, then I moved to Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. Then we moved back to Minneapolis. Then we moved to Philadelphia. Then we moved down here.
Like industrial states, nothing but industrial states,
ironically,
it would
seem. Ironically, yes, but corporate America.
Yeah. So, I mean, Missouri.
Yeah.
With your husband being there, he must, they have a way of saying him as heem. Does he do that?
No.
Maybe that's an Ohio thing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't heard him do that.
I grew up in Connecticut, so everything for me is, you know, either Greenwich or, you know, sounding like a Gavone from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Which I know I can sound like sometimes. I grew up with people like that.
Yeah.
People that went and saw people in New York City. You didn't know what they did, but you didn't ask any questions.
You don't need to ask, yeah. Yep.
So getting into it, tell me a little bit about Forward Digital Marketing. You had mentioned in the previous recording that was non-existent because I forgot to hit the freaking record button. They had several iterations of the business getting it started.
Yep. So I'm on my third. And it started out, I guess I started it in January of 2013 as a way to, well, it wasn't a way. It just happened. You know, as so many, I think a lot of business owners, it just happens and it's not terribly well planned out. And luckily I was young enough at the time too. I didn't need to have too many plans to make it work. But I was at a traditional PR firm, largest in the Southeast, that's independently owned. It's downtown Nashville, and that's where I cut my teeth and got started in the communications industry and learned a lot working, you know, 60-hour weeks for a couple years for pennies and a portion. And I think I mentioned earlier that to me, it seems like the internet years are like, you know, dog years in a sense, in that you can cram a lot. The time passes differently on the internet. So feels like the dark ages, but it was really only, you know, 10, 12 years ago when we started telling businesses, well, you ought to be on Facebook.
I remember that.
And it was a really big stretch for a lot of people. And so I got really into it in 2011, 2012, saying that, you know, people need to be on social media as a place for your communications, as, you know, a piece of the communication strategy. And I became kind of one of the go-to people for social media. And that was kind of how I was earmarked within the firm. And I got really interested in how will communications firms integrate this into what they're doing. And I wanted to I wanted to be part of expanding this firm in particular, and into the digital space. But at the same time, I also had some social media marketing clients on the side, which is a big no-no. I had a lot. When you're working for an agency, for a big agency, you're not to be keeping clients on the side.
Really?
No. Because it's, you know, competition. Those clients should come to the firm. But it was such a gray area back then, especially for a bigger firm, as to whether or not it was, what was the ROI for the client and a firm of that size, too. So it was, you know, just kind of murky waters trying to, for people to figure that out. But I quickly realized I was making more on my own than I was as a young staffer. And so I jumped ship. And that was the first iteration of my business. And I primarily just did Facebook and Twitter management. I don't even think Instagram existed, frankly.
I think it was just...
It was coming out.
Yeah.
It was very fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses were not there.
Right.
But yeah, so that was the first...
People didn't even know what an influencer was.
No, it didn't exist.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yep. That once upon a time, now everybody lives on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
What was your first experience with the internet? Do you remember? I mean, it's always been a part of your life.
I do remember. I remember my first computer. Mm. My mom was working for Prudential in Minneapolis, and she had one come home with her from work. And I don't really recall if it was just for work purposes or not, but it eventually ended up in my room. Mm. And that's where I would write my stories. It had just a word processor, blue screen. Blink, blink, you know, blinking cursor.
DOS.
That was it. Yeah. And you also could play Minesweep on it. So those were the two things I did. But that was my first computer experience. And then I remember when we got internet with the dial-up, you know, and AOL, and I had my own email address.
You've got mail.
Big fat deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got excited to get mail back then.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like, oh,
pain in the ass.
Please stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you almost kind of remember it how I remember it. Mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know it's going to be important. I don't get it yet.
Yep.
It's kind of like how crypto is right now.
Yes.
Are you into that, crypto?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm on the fringes. I haven't participated, but I like to watch it.
It's internet circa 1995 right now.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Got to keep an eye out for the AOLs and the Yahoos that are going to come out of this thing.
Yep.
Put your bets in.
Yep.
That's what I've been doing.
Have you been doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand investing otherwise. But, you know, if I'm investing, I know I'm going to lose money somewhere. So might as well, you know, take a chance on something that may have a big future.
Yeah.
But,
fair enough.
Yeah, it's been interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
So the first iteration was that. You jumped ship. I mean, that's a big leap of faith. to jump from a steady paycheck to something where you have to depend on. How long did it take for you to ramp up to where you were exceeding what you were normally getting?
Not long. I really wasn't making much money, so it was pretty easy to replace it quickly.
But you're fresh out of college into a place like that. That's just the way they paid you.
Yeah.
That's how it was in radio.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But you're not there to make money. You're there for experience, you know? So, I mean, I got it tenfold. It was just an amazing place to start out, and the connections and just the, I mean, you crammed so much into so little time that it was well worth it.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a leap of faith in a sense, but my husband also works for himself. So we're constantly in that frame of mind anyway.
He's in music, right?
He is. Yes. Right. Yep. He's a musician.
I remember seeing on the Zoom call, your studio.
Yes.
Instantly recognized it.
Yes.
The earmarks were there.
Yes. The sound panels on the wall.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was in the midst of 2020. We were building his current studio, which has been our pipe dream for a long time. Finally got that built last year. And so he had for a while a makeshift studio of a sort, which was just a room in our house. It was an office converted. We put a sliding glass door on it, and he had his sound treatments up on the wall. But then after his studio was finished in another part of the house, we reconverted that space back into an office for me, put the French doors back on it. It looks like, you know, part of a home again, not kind of this sound hole.
cave.
Yeah. But those sound panels, a lot of people were like, where are you? What are you doing in the Zoom culture? And I was like, could you please just take these off the walls? Like,
it's a conversation starter.
It really was, yes. Yeah.
I mean, I remember it.
Yeah.
You know, because it was, that's what BNI talks about, little pieces of camaraderie and commonality, right?
Yeah. And those panels, actually, I have bought for him as a graduation gift from Belmont when he finished his master's.
Nice.
Yep. So they were.
Is he a multi-instrumentalist?
He is a classically trained violinist, and then he's a violist. So he's a string guy. He just string stacks, as it were.
String stacks.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yes, it is.
He doesn't play cello? Upright bass?
No.
The Jaws theme?
Mm-mm.
No.
No. No, he hires those guys, and then he can play piano, though, too.
Do you play anything yourself?
Nope. I am a professional listener.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. You play the radio.
I do.
That's my parents used to say.
I play his Spotify.
Is he? He's got Spotify?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where can we find him?
You can find his music, actually, at Allen & Bright. It's one of his duos.
Mm-hmm.
They just released Christmas Volume 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Christmas music? You can play holiday playlists, all that stuff.
And it is fantastic. My favorite one on Volume 2 is the Home Alone theme.
Really?
So good.
I got to mark that down. I gotta make sure I keep note of that. Where am I? I've got no notebooks around me. Okay. Allen & Bright.
Allen & Bright.
All right.
And then Avery Bright. He also has his own Spotify.
Well, I'll mark it down later. I'll just remind you.
But Allen & Bright, Christmas Volume 2, that's what you want to be listening to this season. Really get you in the mood.
It's all like really heartfelt type of whimsical, nostalgic maybe sound. Because with the strings, that's what...
Luscious strings.
Luscious, thick.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Cinematic. Mm-hmm.
So iteration 2, you started out with the first iteration, just jumping ship and just doing your thing.
Yep. Iteration 2... was more of a rebrand, kind of trying to target a different subset of potential clients. It was more of a flop of the three.
Right.
Rebrand 3, the one that it is now, Forward Digital Marketing, that's really, I feel like it's its adult version of itself. You know,
right.
It's kind of come into its own, and it attracts the kind of people I want to work with.
Right. So did you really start getting more into the reviews orchestra, like structuring those? That was part of it?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Because so, a big your seat in the chapter is helping people optimize their reviews and things like that Facebook.
Yep. I have been the reviews person. So aggregating Google reviews, reputation management, making sure that businesses are responding to both negative and positive reviews, because the way you interact with your customers, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Is important, and it says something about your business.
It really does. Signaling 101.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, before I go spend my money somewhere, whether it's a service in my home or a product, I'm probably going to go look at it online before I ever talk to somebody.
Now, what is your process when you do that? You look at a business, and let's say they have, you know, a 4.8 stars out of 5 mm-hmm. based on 358 reviews.
Yeah, that's
what
great.
Is your first go to?
I look at how recent are those reviews.
Okay.
And how frequently are they coming in?
Right.
Because that also means something. You know, if they're all 2 years old, is this business even alive?
Right.
Right. So even as a consumer, though, you're thinking about it in your subconscious. You're like, well, you know, if you're looking at somebody, two businesses that have about the same, you know, amount of reviews and about the same average star rating, but one of them's got a review last week that's glowing, you're like, oh, yeah, they're on it last week.
Yeah.
Whereas if this business A hasn't had a review in 2 months, you're kind of like, looks a little bit dead.
So, I mean, for me, it's looking at, I guess this is, says a lot about me. I'll go to the 1-star reviews,
mm-hmm.
and
people do that too.
I want to see immediately what people are saying badly and when.
Yes, yeah. When. And it probably is important how that business responds to them too. Like, are they coming back at them with guns a-blazing?
Right.
And oftentimes, especially if it's a small business,
mm-hmm.
it's your baby. You don't want people to tell you it's ugly.
Right.
But if a third party can respond without the emotion, it generally goes a little bit better.
What makes you cringe when you see stuff like that? What sticks out?
When businesses go fight people on, I mean, why? I just don't. Do not fight with your 1-star reviewers. You're always, every business is going to fall down at some point.
Right.
You know, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to probably at some point warrant a 1-star review. It's just part of being human and running a business, right? I mean, we're not all going to hit 5 stars every week.
Listen to that, guys. That go back and listen to that. That is very true.
But how you come up out of that and how you hold yourself, you know, I have a lot of thoughts on this. And some of it is, and my husband and I really like to read Stoicism and Stoic philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is relatable to this, in that how you pick yourself up from falling down and how you react, whether you can pull the emotion out of it or not. And the right answer, the better way is to pull your emotion out of it. Says a lot about you, your business, how you can handle yourself and how you treat people, how you think about people.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, when businesses are out there just trying to rip the 1-star reviewers a new one, it does no good.
Says a lot about you.
It does.
Yeah.
You are the same as the 1-star reviewer.
I call that signaling.
Yes.
You know, saying nothing says a lot,
it
not
sure
responding.
Does.
One of the organizations I worked for put into practice from a corporate level, having the people put in positive reviews from the business itself,
mm-hmm.
acting like they were somebody else. And the way they were written and the language they were using was so obvious.
Yeah.
You know, that a regular consumer wouldn't know these terms.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
pretty cringy.
Oh my gosh. It was so obvious. Do some people, is that a thing too, where they go and try to manipulate them that way?
Yeah, you know, I've heard of people doing that. I've not worked with businesses that have gone ahead and done that. Obviously, I would say don't do that.
Right. It's obvious.
Yeah, it really is. And that's, you know, and that consumers are smart.
Yeah.
You know, people are way smarter than you think.
Especially when they get into ad speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that in some of the reviews. You know, when so-and-so came out here, he was so professional and courteous, and he really paid attention to all my blank needs. And I was really happy that I could reach him at 615-222. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ad speak.
That or, you know, my family likes to vacation in the Florida Keys, and we go to Marathon, Florida, which I think you guys.
Yeah. You and I were talking
there,
about
right?
that. Yeah.
And we love to go to this resort. And this always kind of cracks me up. The past few times we've been down there, they have these contests going where if you give a review and you name the specific employee and say this X, Y, and Z, then I think you're like in the drawing for a free drink at the Tiki Bar or something like that, right?
Right.
And so these reviews get stacked up by people who are having a great time out on the beach, and it works to some degree. But this resort needs no help getting 5-star reviews anyway. I mean, it's
they're that good.
They are that good anyway. But I'm always, you know, it always, to me, when businesses do something like that, it is apparent, I think, that, you know, there's some sort of a
manipulation.
Yeah, there's some, yeah. You're doing something there. Whereas the way I go about soliciting reviews from clients or customers of my clients is, you know, it's much more open-ended and therefore for the client to choose their own words. I mean, we put in front of them, you know, some guidelines in a sense in the way we communicate, you know, was your experience easy? Was it effective? You know, was this service X, Y, and Z? You know, use some of the descriptors that we want to hear mirrored back, but it's not, there's no, we don't use campaigns with rewards.
Well, I mean, you know, the place where you vacation, do you want to name it?
Tranquility Bay.
There we go. I mean, you know, do you handle their reviews for them?
No, but I would love to.
Okay, they're, you're a fan.
I am a fan.
Of Tranquility Bay. What's the website?
I think it's just tranquilitybay.com or Tranquility Bay Resort.
Google search Tranquility Bay on Marathon Key, okay, and look them up. She's completely endorsed by Mrs. Ashley here. And I've actually been by the place. I think it's right up the road from the Turtle Hospital.
Sure is. It's right next to the Turtle Hospital.
That's right.
You can hear the Turtle Hospital tours from one side of the resort.
Very
fascinating. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And learn a few things about turtles while you're vacationing on North Marathon Key. Yep. North Marathon Key. Yeah, it's on the north side.
It is.
And so there you go. You know, let's take this clip and send it to him now.
We should.
And then you could say, hey, I want to handle your reviews,
that
man.
That would be one of my dream clients.
Go after them. Have you?
I haven't.
Oh, you got to ask the question.
Too scared.
Don't be scared.
Yeah, I know. But that's a lofty one, you know?
But you're a fan.
Oh, I am.
That's one of the biggest things about advertising on a podcast. Well, who do I go after? Who do you like?
Yeah.
What do you like using? You like using Tranquility Bay. How many times have you been there?
Gosh, I'd have to count at least seven.
Seven times. Seven times Tranquility Bay.
Yep.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fan.
The whole Rydberg family.
The whole family goes to Tranquility Bay, and they love it. They love you guys.
We do. It's the only place we stay.
If you could give multiple five-star reviews, you could.
Sure would. The whole family has given five-star reviews.
Multiples.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Tranquility Bay, you don't know what you're missing out on here. I'm going to endorse Ashley to endorse you.
Yeah. I think my dad was actually just looking at them last week.
Really?
Yeah. Getting our annual vacation booked up.
Nice. And when do you go out there?
We usually go in May.
In May. Okay. Good time to go.
It is.
We may have to go back out there, my wife and I.
You guys went in?
We went to Isla Bella.
Okay.
Right down the road.
You can't go wrong. There are a lot of great places there.
It's new.
Okay.
I had some
new construction?
They're relatively new. I had some constructive criticism for them.
Oh.
So, and it kind of earned, I mean, not that our impetus was to get some money off of our bill, but I'm like, guys, when I'm spending this kind of money for you and I see your staff out and about, have them smile at me at least.
Yeah.
And not act like they're doing me a favor. I'm not paying for that kind of treatment. Like, I don't feel like I'm bothering them.
Yeah. And it's not a small vacation either.
It isn't.
No.
No. I mean, it was a really nice place, very well done, but man. Yeah, you'd be like, hey, how you doing? They'd be like, really? Did you guys ever hear the 5-foot rule? So when I sold Mercedes, one of the things that I would do, because part of our job was to make sure our surveys were preloaded, I guess you could say. And the way they taught us to do it was pepper the conversation with, hey, you got to give us tens and yeses. We're looking for tens and yeses. When you get the survey, one of the things we love to do, and a big part of my compensation is attached to whether or not I get all tens and yeses. If you can't give all tens and yeses, let me know how I can get a 10 and a yes, all tens and yeses out of this experience. Don't do it until we can fix this. Is that something that makes sense? So what did I do there in that entire conversation?
You told them exactly what you wanted to do.
Peppered the whole thing with tens and yeses. Five-star reviews the same way. Is that the methodology that you use?
Yeah, essentially.
If we can't give us a five-star review, don't review us. How can we make it a five-star review?
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yep. And we do.
I think that's integrous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing that we also try to do is get, if there is a problem, find it before it becomes, you know, part of a
dumpster fire.
Yeah. Keyboard warrior, just slew online.
I can appreciate the way businesses get back to people. You know, hey, you know, really sorry that we dropped the ball. Here's my direct number. Please call me.
And that makes a difference.
Yeah, it does.
The human touch element makes a huge difference. So I'm a big believer in no matter how digital our communications or interactions get, it's almost as if the human element becomes more important.
Yeah. Because people know that you're going to make mistakes. Like you're saying, how you're going to handle it.
Yeah.
Right. So with that being said, what do you think are some of the issues that you are having? Hold on, man. I got to find my thing. It's been a while. I'm so rusty. I apologize. Here we go.
What's your Ashley. Problem?
We're just bobbing our heads here.
Yeah.
Proven. What is your problem?
I feel like I don't have any problems with this music. And I've just been thinking about being in Tranquility Bay and the Keys. Like, I mean, I've forgotten all my problems just by being here.
It feels like you're on the beach.
Yeah.
Except you're in an office in some nondescript building in Spring Hill.
So close.
Yeah.
So far.
So they flow together so easily.
They do. Okay, so my problem. And yeah. I have to pick one, huh?
Or any of them. If you want to do a bunch of them, let's do a bunch of them.
I had so many problems. I know I mentioned to you last week, I think, when I saw you, that maybe my problem was going to be childcare in the post-pandemic era.
Right.
Which is constantly a juggling act.
But you work from home, right?
I work from home, yep. And I have two kids, a 5 and a 1-year-old. And I have a nanny who helps me with the 1-year-old.
Mm.
Because we've gotten to a big daycare shutdown situation in July, I think, when we pulled both of them out. So, you know, it's that industry is one that's taken a huge hit as far as being able to retain quality teachers and keep your doors open and provide quality care. So that has been a huge impact on both me and my husband, but frankly, more on me in the past 6 months as far as making sure that both of our boys are in a place where they're good and they're thriving. And we've even toyed with, do I push pause on my business for a while? Do I not? You know, how do I blend the two together? And I think, you know, from the pandemic era, I've come to this place where it's almost like, forget about the work-life balance. It's all about a blend for me to some degree. Mm-hmm. And my older boy, he kind of knows when he can ebb in and out of my office. And when I'm on a call, he's learned, he knows Zoom when it's on. He's like, mommy, can they see us? Can they hear us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's gotten a feel for you know, what that looks like too, and when he can be a part of my work area and when he can't. But, you know, I think that has been a challenge. I don't know if it's, you know, a problem so much as a challenge, but I mean, it's caused me to reschedule on you twice.
Well, I understand, but this is requiring you to actually be physically here. So, I mean, that's understandable.
Sure.
And, you know, completely, I had no issue with it whatsoever. But, I mean, a lot of what you're talking about, should you stop the business? No. I think you'd regret that. I know I did.
Right. Yeah.
When I got into the car business, I let all my side hustles die on the vine. And I had to rebuild them up to prepare me for what eventually happened in 2016, where I went out on my own. And I had my back up against the wall. But thank God I had started ramping up. Mm-hmm. A lot of my side hustles after the car business in a transitory period that I had, I was really happy I did because it helped pay the bills.
Yeah.
I think ultimately what it sounds like, how actively involved are you in your business? How much of you does it require?
A lot.
Yeah.
So that's the other question is, because right now it's just me.
Right.
And I have some 1099s that I use and to kind of be flexible and nimble, scale up, scale down when I need to. And that is something I have used as a selling point. Hey, it's just me. I have no overhead.
Right.
You're working with just me. But that also means
business owns you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So it's a crux for me too of like, do I grow it to a point where I have others working in the business and I'm working on the business. So I'm at a crossroads, yes.
There was one thing that Brad Lee said on his podcast that made so much sense when he was growing his business out there. If you check him out, droppingbombs.com, the real Brad Lee on Instagram, he had mentioned when you want to scale your business, get it where it's making $10,000-$15,000 a month, take five, hire somebody. And just continue that cycle.
Yeah.
Build it up to 20, build it up to 15 again, build it up to 20, take five, hire somebody. 20, 25, take five, hire somebody. And make sure that those people are justifying that expense.
Yeah.
You know, or however much you're going to pay them.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, it's so simple. It really is.
Simple, but not easy.
Right. Of course, you get so you got to go through 10 to 15 people. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people are, I would imagine, like, looking at the recent story, did you hear about the better.com scenario? Talk about a review. So yes. You could really do pages of video
I've
on
read
that.
The headline where 900.
Pages of video? What did I say? Oh my gosh. Pages of video, Jim.
You need some Monday morning coffee.
I thought I did. No. I need less old man brain. Gosh. That's hilarious. I actually, a friend of mine, I said, you need to take advantage of this scenario. A friend of mine's in the mortgage space. I said, speak out on it. This guy just completely killed his culture. Big company like this, right? Have you heard about what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Better.com CEO, for anybody who didn't hear recently, did a 6-minute Zoom call to the 25% of the staff he was letting go. And sent it out to them in an email.
Which 25% of the staff was what, 900, 700? I mean, it was
huge.
Hundreds, yeah. Hundreds of people.
Apparently, after they got some sort of massive investment.
Oh, really?
Not 100 million, but at least 10, multi-tens of millions of dollars. I could be wrong on that one. And he just laid off 25% of his staff right before the holidays with a cold Zoom. Like, looks like he's in a cafeteria somewhere, you know.
Yeah, I
just had to do what he had to do, quote unquote. But now it's on video kind of thing. And now it's being shared everywhere.
Yeah, I saw the headlines on it this morning. And it, the one that I just skimmed said, he said something to the effect of, you know, if you're on this call, you're effectively terminated.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. You're unfortunately, this is not a good message for you. Yeah. Some people didn't even get the email. So they logged in and realized, what happened to my email? I can't get in. And they had to find out.
Oh, that's horrible. That is an HR PR nightmare. Yeah.
So he ended up apparently getting in front of the people who he kept and then denigrated the people he just let go. So now he's got eyewitnesses going out and talking about how much of a POS he is because of what he did after the fact. Nothing good for the business whatsoever.
Or so him, yeah.
My point being, in that scenario, I told my friend who's in the similar space, I said, here's an opportunity for you to recruit.
Oh, yeah.
I said, maybe not the people who are let go, but I mean, hey, you could speak on this topic, being that you're so big on culture and team building and leadership in your space. Maybe some of these people now that are left there that apparently they deemed as the worthy, who apparently he also said, the CEO also said, I'm going to have to be over your shoulder watching what you're doing. So be warned.
Yeah, no thanks.
That was the message.
Bye.
These people might be looking for a way out.
They might ought to be.
Yeah. So now here's a recruiting opportunity for you. Be the hero.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe there are people there that you could take advantage of or pick off.
Think about it. Find them on LinkedIn.
Here's another issue that I see as a potential, based on the Tranquility Bay conversation.
Yeah.
You know, having a client like that would be huge for you.
Mm-hmm.
You'd really enjoy it.
I'd love it. Yeah.
You got to broach that conversation.
Yeah, but right? How? You know, I got
just like we did.
There you go.
I have been a customer of yours for the past 8 years. This is what I do. I want to do this for you. Who do I need to talk to?
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, maybe I'll do that this afternoon.
Yeah. You know how I got involved with the Mercedes dealer up in by music with the airport?
Mm-mm.
Just reaching out to him saying, hey, I used to do this.
Yeah.
I know your industry. I know your brand. And I used to work for your competitor. And they literally, let's talk. Okay. Start the relationship. Just starts with one little thing.
Yes. It's the one little relationship bit by bit, right? That's and that's why BNI is good for me. It's huge for me. I love it.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good not just from a growing your business standpoint, but also just a masterminding your business.
I think an email with the subject line, I've been coming to your place for 7 years.
..
That will get that sucker opened in an instant.
Yeah, and you know, last year, I was thinking about it actually when I was down there last year, And we sent them a little gift basket from mm-hmm. Nashville as a little thank you because they had upgraded our room. It was real nice.
Yeah.
So just remind them of that.
Too. Yeah. Well, not only that, you know, it's like, hey, what's in it for them? I'm a huge fan. I really want to help you guys with this because I believe in you. I know what it's like to be there.
Yeah.
And I can actually, if anything, carry on the conversations with the people that are doing the reviews because I know what it's like.
I do.
Yeah.
I've stayed in pretty much every part of the resort at this point.
Is that a good idea?
I know it in and out.
Yeah. Man, how much could that be worth? Could that pay for extra help?
It depends.
I also think going at it from a bar, not a bargain basement, but a money savings aspect, meaning, hey, I have no overhead. It's not going to cost you as much.
Mm-hmm.
That's not value.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the, what's that saying? The pot calling the kettle black.
Right.
It is so much easier to look at other people and say, oh, you know, you got
to right
do X, Y, and Z, right? Right? And so I mentioned my husband earlier, and he has such an amazing, he is amazingly talented one, but he doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm. He's on the inside of the bottle.
Yes. And he's so skilled because he also does all of his own recording, engineering. He now has a state of the art studio to track out of. And he is a one-stop shop in a sense, right? And so, but he also can provide you this amazing sound for possibly less than what it's going to cost you to book out a full string section,
right,
like a quartet or a quintet or whatever. So he has this product, right? Like he totally stands in a space where he adds value where it doesn't exist.
Right.
But pricing is such a hard thing.
Right.
Right. And so I'm always like, oh, that's so easy. Like, here's where you price yourself. Here's how you do it. And he's like, it is not easy. It is simple. Right. Simple,
right,
but not
right,
easy. So it's, you know, and so that's, I'm totally the pot calling the kettle black because.
As am I. I mean, you know, but I every now and then in the voiceover space that I'm in, I'll put things out there every now and then. If I get a new client, they'll say, well, how much for a 60-second read? And they'll go, you know, typically they're like, you know, $325, but, you know, for you, probably about $285. Is that something that will work? And see how they respond.
Yeah.
You know, what the market will bear.
Yeah.
You know, the old saying is, in the absence of value, there's no price too low. In the presence of value, there's no price too high.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and at this point, you got a lot of value to offer. You've got our track record.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
so
true.
What's holding you back from doing that?
Such a good question. Probably at the end of the day, it's just, you know, FOMO.
FOMO, fear of missing out?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So fear of, hey, well, you're becoming too expensive kind of thing?
Yeah.
How many clients are you currently working with?
Oh, I've got 6 regular ones right now. And then I've got a fair amount where I just do I'll do like a one-off consulting or kind of an as-needed media relations pitch here and there.
Where do you want to be?
How so?
As far as how many clients do you want to manage?
Oh, I would rather have like 1 or 2 big ones, you know,
right,
which brings its own, you know, sort of risk in that
sure,
you don't have as many technical streams, you know, or whatever. But, or the opportunity to have 1 or 2 kind of creme de la creme clients and then also work on other businesses, because I'm one of those people that constantly has their hands in about 6 other cookie jars.
So building other businesses, mm-hmm, is what you're saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So is it important for you to build up the actual revenue of the particular Forward Digital Marketing?
Not crucial. It's more of an interest point, and just because I love the business and I love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm
so it's kind of fun for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
But getting in with something like a Tranquility Bay, check them out, tranquilitybay.com, we're pretty sure. Google them. They're getting a ton of plugs
right here
to all of my tens of listeners right now to check them out.
But, you know, it is the place to be.
So if you had somebody like them, that would start a lot of conversations for other things you could do for them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's how it worked out for Mercedes. You know, They saw me as somebody who could help them with their content. But I mean, honestly, we're putting in their lights now. See how that relationship kind of played out.
That's kind of wild.
You know, from the big dot lighting side of things.
Hmm.
You know.
So what did you start out doing for them? Just the
video production.
Okay.
Just cool. Doing video based on what I knew in the car business,
mm-hmm.
and in the radio business. Helped them out with some radio advertising, you know, helping to brand them, doing local shoots. Locality was very big for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because their competitor is a national-based type of company, big corporate conglomerate, publicly traded. Doesn't really, you know, honestly, you go to their website, there's no team page, which tells you a lot. You talk about signaling.
Yeah.
If you go to a car dealership website and there's no team page, there's no listing of who the salespeople are or anybody on the team, big red flag.
Hmm.
Huge. Especially if you want to work there or even possibly buy there. I don't know why anybody would take their team page down.
Because they have no team.
Or they're cycling through them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big old revolving door.
Interesting.
So with that being said, with you having the initial problem of childcare and dealing, raising a family, being on your own, being a somewhat of a solopreneur at this point,
mm-hmm.
scalability, got to duplicate yourself.
Yeah.
I need so simple.
It is. I need a clone.
Not easy.
Nope.
No. So, I mean, what do you? Is there a way to attract a person that's similar to you that you can't duplicate yourself?
There is, and I've toyed with partnering up with somebody similar to me. You know, and then it's really just what do you want to do, and does that solve the problem? And make things easier, smoother, more effective? Does it accomplish what it is that I need to accomplish?
Yeah.
And if it does the headaches that it brings with it, you know, because the grass is always greener on the other side in one respect.
Right.
And you're always trading one set of headaches for another. So it's kind of like, what's the end game? You know, like, what does
that
bring?
That's a good question.
Does it bring more issues, more to manage, more... Does it give me more time? More time to do what?
No, be with your family and do what you need to do.
Well, that is what I ultimately
And that's a short time horizon, too, because eventually they're going to go to school, right? Are you doing homeschooling?
No, I can't homeschool.
Right.
I'm not gifted in that way.
I get it.
No, my oldest is in kindergarten already, so he started that this year. He loves it. He's rocking it. And then my youngest is one.
Right. So you got 4 years left with that,
mm-hmm.
and eventually they're going to have a big chunk of the day to be able to do your business.
Yes.
But in the meantime, you know, one of the things that we, getting into Big Dot, we understood the best thing to have was an exit plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to grow this thing. What's our number?
Interesting.
Do you agree? Not, there are some people like Gary Vaynerchuk
mm-hmm.
who talks about if you're getting into a business to sell it someday, it's not a reason to get into it. Well, here we are. That's, you know, how I'm kind of, we're growing this business. We're passionate about it. We really want to grow it big and do the right thing by our clients. But yeah, if somebody comes to the table and offers us a chunk of change, I'm not going to think twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's your exit plan?
That is such a good question.
Right.
I actually was talking about this with my husband. Maybe, can't remember if it was yesterday afternoon or this morning. The concept of, is what you're doing today serving, is it building just today, or is it building your 5 years from now?
Right. Because 5 years from now, you're going to be, you know, probably like 25 years old.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a whole different ballgame at that point.
I'd love to be 25.
I'm complimenting you. You look young.
Thanks.
You know?
I'll take it for today.
Yeah.
I feel like I look like so tired today. I've been up since 2:45.
I get it.
That's kids, fun. Man, they want to run you into the ground.
Yep. And then they get become teenagers. That's fun.
Yeah, I've heard.
We're dealing with that now.
Yeah.
I don't want to put a negative spin on it. Not dealing with it, kids. We love you guys. You know that. But, you know, as you go through it the first time, so are we.
Yeah. Parenting is a whole stretching experience.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And there's a guy who I follow on Facebook who built a business. What did he do? Rack and Roll Audio. That was his business. And he built out a rental business doing, equipment rental to different studios around town. And lately, he's been able to just go out on the road, take his family sightseeing.
That's super cool.
See the country in an RV. And it's so much fun to kind of vicariously live his life through what he's doing. But he built his business in a manner that it could sustain that lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, that's why my husband and I both work for ourselves, is to achieve something to that degree.
Right. But when you have a business that owns you, it's tough.
Yep. Yep.
My first words to my wife when I went struck that on my own was, I want to be able to determine how much I make, take time off when I want to, live my life on my own terms.
Yep.
Sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
No. There are seasons of it, though.
There is. Much more flexibility, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, like last week, I had to be at the dealership till 3 a.m. It's just what you have to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes.
So exit planning, I mean, did you guys figure anything out in terms of what your goals were? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of goals, and it's passive income, right? It's like, how do you get passive income? And is it through scaling your business with employees? Is that a form of passivity? But, for my husband, he's able to create intellectual property that serves him passive income. To your point where, you know, sometimes you own your time and sometimes you don't, it has taken years to get to that point.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's, and there's a portion of his business where my skill set I could help him.
Right.
Multiply what he's doing as well. So.
So getting somebody to help you, is that on the horizon?
It is.
Something you even want to try?
Yes. I mean, I've dipped my toe in the water enough that just with 1099s just contract work here and there, that it's very freeing when you do kind of let go of something. But it's the kind of getting over the crest of letting something go.
What is the biggest need you have to fill currently?
Probably just somebody to do the actual work of content production and management, which is, that's difficult in a sense because a lot of it's predicated on writing, which is,
it's a skill set.
It is. Yeah. It is. And that's something that I do well, and that's kind of the base of my business. So that one will be a hard one for me to farm out.
So if you or someone you know is a good writer and wants to come work with Ashley, for Ashley, reach out to her. I too am looking for somebody who can help me out with pulling clips and basically being my assistant, who has a tendency for content creation and can put together a narrative of sorts out of these podcast episodes.
I know somebody.
Do you?
I think I do.
Really?
Possibly.
Be a part-time kind of basis at first, but we've talked about it for me in the next couple of months, depending on how Octave does, which is doing gangbusters for us.
Gangbusters is good.
That's right. So I need somebody to help me pull these. We got to get this podcast out there. And the way you do it is with clips, smaller pieces of it.
Little
promos.
Taste bites.
Little tidbits. Put on the TikTok.
Oh,
and the Instagram.
Oh, the TikToks.
Are you on the TikToks?
I'm on the TikToks.
Are you?
Yes.
Doing the dances?
Nope.
No?
Just there observing, understanding, lurking, ready to go if somebody wants to be there. I don't have a lot of clients that want to be on there, but.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of those things, though, that you have to know what's available, right?
Right.
I would actually like to turn a blind eye to some new platforms, but you can't.
You can't.
You just can't.
Next generation is coming up through them.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not sure if people are kind of getting wary of the whole social media thing at this point.
To some degree, absolutely.
But what's next? Is it going to be the Meta?
Who knows?
The virtual reality universe?
Yeah, I think people are weary of it. But do they stop getting on it and doom scrolling? No.
Doom scrolling? Is that what that is?
Yes. Yeah.
What is doom scrolling?
It's where you just, you get on there, it's not healthy for you. You're not really getting anything from it. All the headlines are terrible, but you just keep scrolling and scrolling.
Is that on your feed? I don't have that on my feed.
The doom?
No.
The news stories?
No. I don't see any of that stuff. I've made a conscious decision to ignore all of it.
Yes.
And I don't know whether a trend just translated to this or what.
My Twitter feed is highly curated to that end. No news stories whatsoever. And that's right. Where I like to do my scrolling. It's very curated into my interests. Right. My personal Twitter feed is. But I think by and large, your average Facebook user just gets on there and checks out.
When I find Twitter is being attuned to anything to do with crypto at this point.
Yeah.
Because of, I guess, all my searches on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So things I like to follow, things I like to, and they're like, hey, there's everything about crypto. Great. I don't want to hear about anything else.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Twitter's easy to curate.
Nothing I can do about it. Facebook too. Facebook's just generally friends, and occasionally I come across some sort of, you know, a friend of mine who puts up a post about something and I ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, newsworthy.
Yeah.
News is not good for you.
It's not. I agree.
Marinate your mind in good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bomb. You got to marinate your mind. I had no idea that was going to play. I'll turn it off. This is weird.
That was good.
Thank you. So you're looking for somebody moving forward mm-hmm. that can help you build your business, scale it up. And let's say 5 years from now, you want it to be what? A $5, $10 million a year business?
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yes.
That'd be amazing.
I would.
Is it possible? Do you believe it's possible?
Yeah, I think it is possible. Yeah. And you'd find me in the Keys.
That's right. You can do your business from the Keys.
I could.
Totally.
Really could. Yeah.
You can do your business from anywhere.
Every time we go down to the Keys, we think about it. Could we live here? But no.
There's your passive income.
Yeah. We'd like to travel there more, but not live there. Schools aren't as great.
Schools are schools.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about schools for my kids. No. Eventually, it's like, you know what? I mean, my schools didn't really serve me all that well. Everything I learned was post.
True.
When I wanted to figure it out.
True.
And learn it.
Yeah.
I teach self-awareness.
Yes. Books. Yeah. Books are the key to everything.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. That and YouTube videos. TikTok dances.
The TikToks.
Well, with that being said, where can people find you and discover you and follow you? Are you doing much with social media yourself?
Oh, no, not as much as I should because the cobbler's children has no shoes. That's my problem. That's what I should have talked about. That's my problem.
Cobbler shoes scenario.
Yeah. But right. I'm about to get a new website. It's going to be at Tyler Krause and crew are doing it.
Tyler Krause, he was on the podcast a couple of episodes, more than a couple of episodes ago, but very good conversation.
Yeah, his team is great, Conversion First Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll have a new website there at Forward Digital Marketing. Actually, it's just forwarddigital.marketing.
What is the biggest service you have that attracts the most people and pays you the most?
That would probably be the content production and management.
So you're talking about writing blogs, things of that nature, content for websites?
Content for social media channels.
Okay.
And then, you know, sometimes people get wrapped up into a whole strategic plan for all of their communications inside and out of their company.
Right.
So when it's kind of a holistic thing, that's the whole enchilada, so to speak. But the easiest one for people to bite off is the reviews.
That starts the conversation. Right. Oh, and by the way, we can do this.
Yep.
Right. Gotcha.
That's how it works.
And are the reviews services generally priced so you can just impulsively buy them?
Yes.
Are they impulse purchases?
Yeah.
We may have to talk.
They're supposed to be impulsive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? Do you want to talk and put that out there?
No, because it's scaled on volume.
Oh.
You know, so it's not I try to do one project or one flat fee for everybody, but it's not a one size fits all thing because, you know, some people have 30 new clients a month, new customers a month, and some people have 3.
Right.
And it's not fair to charge them the same.
What would it take for you to start posting on a daily, if not weekly basis? Social media. Just thinking about it?
Help.
Yeah. Man. Yep. There's your solution.
Back to my help thing. Yeah. Yep.
Getting somebody to do it for you.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, that's my biggest problem too. Because I espouse that all the time. Hey, you just got to do this, but I, you know, guilty.
Yeah. It's hard.
Brad Lee called me out on that.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I listened to the beginning of it. Actually, on my long walk on Thursday, I was listening to that couple of different of your...
He's cool.
Yeah. He seems like
it. He's a cool cat. Well, all right. Check everything out at Forward Digital Marketing. Dot marketing.
In about 2 months, yeah.
So there's no website right now?
No.
Okay.
It's Facebook gonna be brand new. Facebook page, yes. I'm on there. It's Forward Digital Marketing on Facebook and on LinkedIn.
Do you have the URL picked out? You have the URL, right?
For my website?
Yeah.
Sure do.
Where's it pointed?
I should ask them to do
it. Oh, my gosh.
This is a very new thing. I mean, you're talking about something. I mean, just started this last week.
GoDaddy or wherever you registered the domain and point it to your Facebook page.
That's what I should do.
Or Linktree.
Oh, get a Linktree. Yeah, I should do that.
Again, Beacons page.
Again, I need to get help. That's what's come out of today. H-E-L-P. Right.
That's the solution to your problem. Scaling up and getting the help to help you out to do it. Well, thank you so much for coming out here. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and speak with you. And of course, doing it in a public forum is always somewhat terrifying for some people, but you're natural.
Fake it till you make it.
Oh, no, you're not faking anything. Who are you kidding? Check us out, guys. What'syourproblempodcast.com. Subscribe, listen, review.
Review it. Leave That's those right. 5 stars.
Leave something. I don't care if it's 1 star. You know, just back it up, and I'll just say, hey, you know, I realize I suck. That's fine. You know, I'll respond to them. 1 star, 2 star, 3 star, whatever.
Five stars
preferable.
Go
yeah.
For the five.
Go for the five. Why not? Any rating will do. Check us out. What'syourproblempodcast.com. Ashley, again, thank you so much for coming out here.
Thank you, Jim.